as Christians, I'm back. As Christians, we I don't know, personally, as a Christian, sometimes you have this idea that we have this life in Christ, and that life somehow should be a good life. And what does a real good life mean? And today, we're looking at this passage, John 10, 7 to 18, and particularly one verse, which is one of my favorite verses in all the scriptures, stands out to me. And that's at John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or the sense of abundance of life. And when you look at the life that we've been praying about just before, a life seems to be full of struggles, it's full of hardships, all this negative stuff happens in life. And life doesn't always seem to be abundant in the way that many would look at life as being abundant. But this morning, as we look at this passage together, look at these concepts of Jesus being a door and Jesus being a shepherd and those things contributing to a full life for us as God's people, hopefully we'll come to understand that we do have a fullness of life that extends beyond and above a material fullness, but to a spiritual fullness that we all have available to us in Christ. So let's dive into the passage and see what God has for us this morning. So first of all, we start off with these kind of parallel ideas as Jesus speaks. He speaks of himself in this passage as both a door and a gate. Sorry, a gate, a door or gate, and a shepherd. And to understand this fully, we have to go back to the context of shepherding back in the ancient world. Like, in the ancient world, we're not talking sheep farming like we have here in New Zealand, where you have 1,500 head of sheep across 400 acres, and once a year go and harvest them up to shape them to just, I don't, that may be entirely inaccurate, I'm not a sheep farmer, but it's a much more detached relationship. You have sheep that go out and farm on a field, every now and then you go get them and share them, or they bring them in for taking the abattoir to get butchered. It's a very distant relationship. It's very manufactured and very mechanical. It's very removed. But in the ancient world, and in some parts of the Middle East still, the relationship between the farmer and the sheep is much more intimate. They have a very close relationship. And in the ancient world, each day, a sheepherd would go and collect the sheep from the sheep pen and walk with them all day out through the surrounding areas, leading them to various places to get watered and fed. And at the end of the night, they'd bring them back to the main compound of the family. And there'd be a special place called where it's walled off enclosure, where the sheep would be kept overnight. And the shepherd would hand over responsibility for the sheep to a porter or a kind of house servant. And he would spend the night in this closed off compartment with the sheep, with a massive gate locked to protect the sheep. So when Jesus says, I am a door or a gate, he's talking about the place that separates the outside world, the dangerous world, from this place of sanctuary or safety behind a door. And he is the door that separates the danger of the outside from the safety of the presence of being inside the family compound. And the shepherd would come each morning and he'd have a special password or a special key or a special code to release the sheep from this place of safety and protection, to bring them out into the world to get the nourishment and the sustenance that they needed to grow and produce the wool and produce the meat required to make that whole operation productive. So as Jesus says in verse 7 there, very truly, I am the gate for the sheep, he is indicating to the people hearing him that he is the thing that separates a world of safety from a world of danger. He is the access to a safe place. He is the access to a good place where everything is guaranteed and okay. And as we take that in the spiritual sense, what Jesus is saying here, there is a place of safety where we're in the presence of the family, which is all good. But it can only be accessed through this one way. There is only one way to access this place of safety and security and comfort and peace. We can have rest. And Jesus is claiming the right to be the one who lets those into that safe place. He is the one that separates the wildness from the safety, the danger from the life. He tells us that he is the door. When the door is closed, it keeps everything safe. When the door is closed, he keeps the thief, he keeps the robber, he keeps the wolf out. all the threats to our life he keeps from us when he is closed. But as he opens the door, he lets life in. He lets people go out and find life. He lets people into that safety. He is the conduit for access to a safe place, from deliverance from the evil place or the unsafe place. He tells us in this picture that he is the one gate. He says that others have come before, but all the other gates, all the other doors have been thieves and robbers. There are other places that try to entice us in. There are other things that try to entice us in as a place of safety or comfort. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about some of those things that we run to for comfort or safety. They try to entice us in. I've heard stories of Amsterdam where prostitution is legal, and there's people standing at the doors of these brothels trying to entice people in, trying to say, come in here, come here. You can have life and experience here. It's great. And I kind of see it a similar way. There's other doors, and they're trying to entice people into these doors. But behind those doors isn't life. Behind these doors isn't happiness. Behind these doors isn't safety. But there's evil and theft and robbery and destruction and death. But there's this one door with Christ standing at it, saying, come in, come in. And through that door, there is life and there is safety and there is peace. There is this one door that leads to this one safe place. And this one safe place is relationship with the Heavenly Father, the guarantee of eternal life. All other ways lead to danger and death and destruction. But we have this door that Christ opens to eternal life. Jesus is the one door. Sometimes it talks of many paths to God. Other religions say we all end up at the same place. There's many different various ways to get where we want to go. We all worship the same God. But Jesus here is saying, I am claiming exclusive rights to access to the safe place. I have exclusive rights to let people in and out of the safe place. He is the sole means of access to security and eternal life. He is the one founder of a permanent society of men, the society of men that will last forever, the one that will have eternal significance. Outside, there is danger, there is death, there is wolves, there is thieves, there is natural disaster. But inside is salvation. As we come before God as his people, we are reassured that if we are in Christ, if he is our Lord, he is our Savior, we have been passed through that door. That door has been opened to us, and now we dwell in this safe place where our eternal security, our eternal life is secure in Christ. The door doesn't flap open all night, banging and closing, opening and closing. When we go through that door, the door is shut firmly behind us, and we're safe. We're safe in that place of eternal salvation, where our eternal life is secure in Christ. That gate cannot be broken down by doubt. That gate cannot be broken down by stumbling. That gate cannot be taken away by other people's threats or disbelief or accusations. That door is shut securely, and there is nothing that can break that door down, because we are safe eternally in Christ. There is nothing that can open that door without Christ's permission. There is nothing that can take that door away. Once we are through that door and we are safe in Christ, we have eternal life. So regardless of what life brings, we know that we have this place of safety. Regardless of what life throws at us, we have this place of eternal, enduring community where we can find rest in knowing that no matter what happens, we have that in Christ. And he tells us in this passage, how that door is opened and how that safety has been secured. When he starts to talk about himself as a shepherd, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, but it's not my pen. I must bring them also, they too listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. The way that this gate has been opened is because the good shepherd Jesus has led us to this door. And through his own sacrifice, he has opened that door to us. He has willingly and voluntarily done all that's required to get his sheep to the door of salvation and open that door. It's as if the special key to that door was his blood. With the modern technology, all this DNA testing and optical scanning, it's possible. I remember, anyone seen the movie Gattaca? You seen Gattaca? Gattaca's this movie where there's this society where people are very much segregated by their DNA. There are people who are more perfect and people who are less perfect. And depending on how perfect you are as a person, it limits what you can do in society. And I think, I'm pretty sure in Gattaca, the elite were the, like, astronauts or something he was trying to get into? I think I'm pretty sure that the elite people were astronauts. And to be an astronaut, you had to like have perfect DNA. And anyone going into the facility of the space program, as they went in, they had to put their hand inside a machine and it punctured their finger to tell them, to test their DNA to see if they were who they said they were and whether they were perfect enough to have access. And the main character of Gattaca was a guy who wasn't perfect. He had some sort of genetic flaw that prohibited him from being an astronaut. But he found someone who he could get blood from, and every day as he went into this facility, he would cover his fingertips in these little patches that held the blood of somebody else. And every day he'd put his hand in, and it would prick the finger, and the blood would flow, and he'd get access to the facility. And the movie's about how he has to try to stay hidden from the... It's quite a good movie, if anyone wants to see it. But it's this concept that the blood, perfect blood of these people, gave him access to the facility that he had dreams of. In the same way, Christ is that code that protects and opens the doors to the safe place. As we approach this door that will screen us for our perfection, for our ability to go into the safe place, and we put our hand in to get scanned, our own blood is imperfect. Our own life is imperfect. We all fall short. But because our fingertips are covered in the blood of Christ, when our blood is tested, it is found perfect, and we have access to the safe place. Christ's death, his blood, sheds for us, opens the gate to eternal life. It opens the gate to eternity. So isn't that great? Regardless of how tough life is, regardless of how difficult things may be, we have this assurance that this gate is there for us and has been opened by our good shepherd who gave up his life for us. And it's a place of safety that can never be taken from us. No matter what happens in life, no matter how badly we stuff up, no matter how badly we fail, no matter how tough things get around us, no matter how much we don't have what we'd want in life, there is a safe sheep pen for us that gives us eternal belonging and eternal rest and eternal security. And that can't be taken from us. And I think that's really exciting, because life isn't always easy, but we have a place of rest, a place of security, a place of eternal salvation, eternal belonging. What about life? We can't live life forever detached from reality. We have this place we're going to go to eventually that's going to be perfect and awesome and great. Hallelujah. But right now, we still live in a world which is pretty messed up. And we know that. We're all messed up. I'm messed up, you're messed up. Some of us are messed up physically, some are messed up emotionally, some are messed up psychologically. All of us are broken. And we deal with broken people every day. You go to work, there's messed up people. You go to school, there's messed up people. You go home, there's messed up people. Everywhere we go, everything we do is flawed because we live in a very broken world. So how are we as God's children, as God's sheep, meant to live in this world? And when we are told that the life that we live here is an abundant life or a full life, what does that look like when I seem to lack so much? Well, we are told that we have a shepherd who leads us out each day. In verse 9, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved, and then they will come in and go out and find pasture. So we are told that the shepherd will collect us from our place of security, our security in Christ, and he will lead us in and out each day into the world. As we go out into the world, we will find pasture. As a sheep, pretty much the only thing I think sheep care about is eating. Like, whenever you see sheep, they eat. Pretty much all day, they sit there with their face in the grass and they eat. I don't think I've ever seen a sheep having a rest. I don't even think I've ever seen a sheep having fun. Maybe lambs play, but adult sheep, all they seem to do is eat. This is their life. They go in and out to find pasture. They want to eat, they want to get fat, they want to grow wool, which is great for us who like nice warm jerseys and like to eat lamb. That's their consuming focus. But we are told we have a shepherd who's going to take us out into the world and give us pasture. He's going to take us out and he's going to keep us safe. The passage talks about when the sheep have trouble come upon them. In verse 11 it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters. The man runs away because of the hired hand and cares nothing about the sheep. So the passage tells us that when the shepherd leads his sheep out into the world, as he goes to find these places of sustenance and of blessing and of growth, it's not a safe place. He tells us that living in this world, even with the good shepherd, doesn't mean life's not going to be hard. Wolves are going to come. There's going to be threats and dangers and anxiety all around us. So we're going out to find pasture in a dangerous world, but we have a good shepherd that is with us all the time. And I think these things start to key us into what an abundant or full life looks like. Abundant life or a full life is a life where we find sustenance. It's a place where we find opportunity to grow and to be fed. Jesus leads us out into situations in which there will be growth. Places we will find nourishment. He's led us here this morning to a church service where we will sing praises and pray prayers and study scripture. This is a place where he has led us this morning to be fed. But it's also an opportunity for us to come together to share one another's burdens, to hear each other's hopes and dreams and struggles and failures and successes. And that also is a means of being fed. As you live life with one another, we can learn from each other's struggles. We can learn from each other's failures. We can learn from one another's successes. We are taken to places where we will experience growth. He doesn't necessarily lead us to the easiest places. When the shepherd takes his sheep out, he will take them to a place where he knows there is food. He will take them to the place where he knows there is the best grass. And you may lead the sheep past other areas where there is grass to a better place, and the sheep, being lazy and stupid like sheep are, they want to stop at the very first place and start to eat. But the shepherd will keep them moving through these places which are simple to get to and easy to get to a more difficult place, because that's where the good food is. He will take us to the place where things are best for us to experience the most growth. He will take us to the place, not the place we want to go to because it's easy, not the place we want to go to because it's easy to get there or comfortable living there. He will take us to the place where the best food for our souls is, what is essential for us to live. And we'll experience growth in those places. In those places he leads us to, there will be growth. Our lives will become richer. Our lives will become fuller because he's taken us to the place that we need, not the place that we want. And when he takes us to that difficult place, when he takes us to that place where he wants us to feed and to grow and to be nurtured in, he keeps us safe there. We're not safe there because there's no threat. We're not safe in the place where the shepherd leads us because there's no threat there. The world is full of threat. In the ancient times, there was the threat of wolves, there was the threat of lions, there was the threat of bears, there were threats of robbers and thieves. He takes us to a place that's not safe because there's no threat there. He takes us to a place where it's safe because the shepherd is there with us. We're not safe in this world because there's no danger. We're not safe in this world because there's no threat. We're safe in this world because a shepherd walks alongside us each and every day. As we read in Psalm 23, even though the sheep walk through the shadow of the valley of death, there is no need to fear. Not because we're not in the valley of the shadow of death, not because we're not in a dark place. We're in a dark place, but the shepherd is there with his rod and his staff to comfort and protect and to keep those threats that would seek to destroy us and rob from us and kill us away. A relationship with the shepherd doesn't mean we'll have a strife-free life. It means we have a safe life because we are found in him. And one of the really cool things about this relationship that we have with the shepherd is this whole idea that we understand each other. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He goes on to say, they too listen to my voice. There's this idea that we have this relationship with the shepherd. When we bleat, God help us. God hears us because he recognizes us as one of his. And he also tells us that we can hear his voice. We can hear his reassurance and comfort as we live our life. Often if we get so stubborn and so distracted and so pig-headed like sheep, we won't listen to their voice. We tune it out. But we are told as God's people that we have the ability to hear God's voice and recognize God's voice in our life. He will show us the way. He will lead us if we listen to him. And if we call out, he hears us. He recognizes us as one of his sheep. Lord, I need you. I'm here. I'm right beside you. You don't need to be afraid. There's this relationship that exists between the shepherd and the sheep, which goes two ways. If the sheep needs a shepherd, they call out and the shepherd comes. If the shepherd wants you to move on to a new pasture, he calls out and you follow. There's this two-way relationship where we have the safety of calling out to the shepherd, and the shepherd has our best interest in leading us to the best place for us. As we go out into the fullness of life, we find the fullness of life by going where the shepherd leads, by obeying his call on our life. And if we want to go to a place where life feels abundant, where life feels full, where we have this full experience of God, we need to go to the place where the shepherd is calling us into. And as I said, that may not be a place of comfort. That may not be an easy choice. As I shared at the prayer time, I got a new role at CAP during the week. I'm transitioning from looking after our debt centres. We're helping those unmanageable debt. And I've taken responsibility for looking after our job clubs, which is helping the long-term unemployed back into employment. And we've been advertising that job for about 5 months. And through this time, I've been wrestling with God, this whole idea of what I should do, whether I should put my hand up for that. Because at the moment, I was in a comfortable place. I'm good at my job. I'm used to my job. My job still has the opportunity for me to do things. And there was no obligations, really. If something else came up in the church, perhaps, I was able to say, okay, God's calling me to ministry, I can put that aside. So I was wrestling with that. It seemed like a safe place for me to say, I'll keep on doing what I'm doing and leave the door open for God to call me into ministry somewhere else. But by committing to job clubs, I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to commit myself to 2 more years at CAP in this ministry to see what God would do with me there. It's much more responsibility, it's much more risky in terms of exposing myself to failure, but I feel that God has called me to do that. He's called me to leave this safe place where I had my own ideas of what life may have in front of me. And he's called me to go into this difficult place where I've committed myself to potential failure, because I feel that God still has more for me to learn in that space. He wants to see how much he can get out of me in that space for his glory. So when he calls us, we need to be sensitive to that voice and not always choose to do the easy thing. Sometimes he's going to call us to follow us, him, to follow the shepherd into a difficult space where there's risk and potential of failure and exposure to danger. But sometimes that's the space he wants us to be in. Because in that dangerous space, that hard time, where we have the possibility for the most growth. Christ isn't interested in us having a comfortable life. He is interested in us having a full life. Now, it's really interesting, this whole tension between having a life full of abundance and an abundant life. He's not promising us a life of fullness or a life of abundance where we have all that we need, have all that we want, and life is comfortable and good. He's calling us to a life full of experience, full of relationship, full of growth. The life that he's talking about in this passage, the word in the Greek is a word that's used for spiritual life. He's telling us that in Christ, if we follow the shepherd, we'll have a full spiritual life where we'll experience the full exposure of who God is. If we know God in just one way, in the same comfortable day after day after day life, we don't get to experience the fullness of who God is. We need to have highs, we need to have lows, we need to have challenges, we need to have victories for us to fully experience who God is. The fullness of our spiritual life comes from all sorts of exposure to God. In sickness and in health, in prosperity and in want. As we are exposed in different areas of our life to different things, we will start to grow in our understanding of who we are. We will start to grow in the understanding of who Christ is. There were surveys done of the Western Church to ask them what they thought of Christian life. And for most of Western Christianity, their goal of life is attaining a certain level of comfort, because that's the culture we live in. We have a nice house, we have a nice job, we have a nice family, we have a nice relationship. All is good. We've got to a comfortable place where God is blessing us because our life is okay. And that is the goal of so much of Western Christianity. Our goal is to get to a point of comfort where we have all the things that are the trappings of successful life and comfortable life in this world. If we get to a point where we are in a comfortable place, or we have all the things we need, what space is there for God in that space? One of the things that struck me over Christmas was a devotional put out by a guy called Sky Jethani. Now, Sky Jethani is a pastor in Chicago, in Ohio. He's in Illinois, because he's in Chicago. And he's a pastor, and he's on a podcast with the guy who founded VeggieTales, Phil Vitcher, the Phil Vitcher podcast. And he writes books, which I recommend, because Sky Jethani is a great author as well. But every day, he sends out these devotionals. And the devotional that struck me over Christmas was this one about Joseph. Now, Joseph was a man who was going on with his life. He had his business, he was a carpenter, and he was going to get married to Mary, who was his beloved, I guess. And he had a great life. His life was going fine. He didn't need God to come into his life because life was going okay. He had a job, he had a potential wife, everything was good. Many would say his life was okay, but God stepped into his life. And he gave Joseph this betrothed woman who was pregnant. He was marrying this pregnant woman. And in that day and age, as we discussed over Christmas, was a terrible thing. God took Joseph from his life of comfort and put him into a massively uncomfortable space. God is not invested in us having comforts, having a full life in terms of comfortable life or easy life or satisfied life. God is invested in putting us into situations where we need to grow, we need to be sustained, have that growth, become who he wants us to be. God takes us from these tough, easy places into tough places so we need him more. Experience him more, grow in him more. And that's so countercultural to much of our society, where we're seeking to have easy lives, peaceful lives, calm lives. If he puts us in a situation that's difficult and tough and strenuous and stressful, that's not a reflection that our shepherd's done something bad to us. That's our shepherd taking us to a new place where we can experience new growth as we call out to him and he hears our voice and we hear his voice. Because he's invested in us having a full experience of God and a full experience of who we are in relationship to God. This abundant life is not a life without fear. This is not a life without trouble or anxiety. Some people would say that they want a faith where it says, "Fear not, trust in God, and he will see that none of the things you fear will happen to you." Some people want faith to be like that, where if we trust in God and we have a relationship with God, our Father and our Shepherd, we have a life where none of the things that we fear will happen to us. But that's not the reality of an abundant life. The reality of an abundant life where our faith is real and growing is where we say, "Fear not. The things you are afraid of are quite likely to happen to you, but they are nothing to be afraid of because our Shepherd is there with us." Where are you sitting in that spectrum? Are you sitting in a place where you do not want anything you're afraid of to happen? Are you out there living in the ship under the shepherd's arm, facing your fears, because there's nothing to be afraid of? Because we have a shepherd that walks with us, that hears our voice, that will tend and comfort us, and guide us with his rod and his staff. What kind of faith are we wanting? What kind of life are we wanting? Are we wanting a comfortable life, or are we wanting a full life where we experience God fully and grow to be who we are truly meant to be as a sheep? We have the shepherd who loves us incredibly so, that he laid down his own life to save us. We have a door which keeps our eternal future secure, our eternal life secure, where we know we have the richest of pastures for eternity. And yet we're here in this world, waiting to enter into that eternal sheep pen, that place of eternal safety and security. What time of life are we living now in this space? What kind of sheep are we being? Hopefully all of you here this morning have seen that door to salvation open for you. Hopefully you've all taken on the blood of Christ so you can pass through the door into eternal salvation. If any of you haven't made that decision, if any of you are still standing out in the wilderness with the thieves and the robbers and the wolves seeking to tear you down, or knocking on other doors seeking other pleasures or excitements, I would encourage you that there is one door you need to knock on. There is one door that you need to open, and that's the door to salvation through Christ. All other doors lead to death and destruction, but one door will lead you into eternal security, eternal salvation, and the fullness of life. For those who have walked through that door and have experienced the relief of knowing their eternal security is safe and in place in Christ, what sort of life are you looking for? Are you looking for a comfortable life, where you take the various steps outside that door to feed on the first grass you come to, trying to keep yourself safe, trying to keep yourself secure? Or are you listening to the shepherd's voice? Are you going into the dark place, the dangerous place, the place where you have to grow your faith to survive? Are you experiencing the fullness of life in Christ because you're willing to go out in faith and do the hard thing? Are we a sheep following the voice of this world calling us to money, power, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever it may be? Is that the voice we are hearing? Or are we following the voice of our shepherd calling us forward to green pastures where we will grow and be nurtured and be fed and fully experience him? I guess my challenge for you this morning is to feel good about the eternal salvation that we have, but also have the desire to push into a fuller life in Christ, to experience him more fully by following him more closely and going to those places where you've never gone before, but you know Christ will meet you there and will feed you there and keep you safe there, despite the hardship, despite the danger, despite how uncomfortable it is. Let me pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks that you've opened the door to us with your blood. We give you thanks that our eternal security and safety is in you. And we give you thanks for the life you've given us, Lord. We give you thanks for this life, not the life we might have if things were easier, not the life we might have if things were different. We give you thanks for this life because this is the life you've given us so that we may experience you and grow in you. We give you thanks for a fullness of life that comes from experiencing you more deeply. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice and step into the place where we will be fed. We give you thanks that you are all we need. And we give you thanks that you give us security and safety and sustenance relationship. We give you thanks for all things. Amen.